Well, like I said earlier, over the next kind of couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at these two big questions. How can I find true purpose in life? And how can I find a hope that lasts? You see, those are big, important questions, aren't they? Whether they feel like things either you have or things that just feel out of reach and unobtainable, all of us are looking for these things. And all of us try to push our life in that direction in a way that we think that we might gain those things. And you see, the hope and purpose, those are two topics that are crucial and are big parts of Hope Explored. So we're hoping that over the next couple of weeks, today and next week, we hope that it starts to provoke thought and they almost act like steps towards Hope Explored, where we can look at that topic more deeply, take more time over it, be able to ask questions and think more about them. And before we look at today's questions on the true purpose in life, let me pray for us and our time together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that we've enjoyed this morning and over Christmas, being reminding of the joy that Christmas brings. Lord, thank you so much for your Savior Jesus, the creator of the universe, coming down to earth, God's made flesh, a babe in a manger, coming that we might be able to know you. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. And we pray that just in our time together, Lord, we might think more clearly about what it means that Jesus has come into the world and how that gives just great purpose and meaning and direction in our lives, Lord. Help us to take that next step into trusting Jesus more with that and what that might look like in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to improve my fitness, to learn a new skill, to make more time for loved ones, to give up alcohol, to improve my work-life balance, to worry less. You see, according to an article from the Forbes magazine, these are some of the most common New Year's resolutions that people are setting going into the new year. Now, I don't know whether you usually do New Year's resolutions or not, but those sounds kind of pretty typical. You might expect to hear those from people. But what the magazine also did is they surveyed 1,000 people back in October and not only just looked at what people set for New Year's resolutions, but what their mindset is and their attitude towards it. And you see, the results were really interesting. When giving themselves this kind of big target going into a new year, the survey found that 80% of the respondents, they felt confident in their ability to meet that target and to reach that goal. Well, that sounds quite positive and quite good, right? It also found that 50% of resolutions, they fail by the first 3 months. So that's half of the people have given up by the end of March. Happy New Year, everyone. And actually, here's the most interesting one. Only 20% of people filling in that survey said they would keep themselves accountable for reaching that goal. So it seems that people are willing to set a resolution, give themselves this goal, and in fact, starting off, they're really enthusiastic about their chances. But when the rubber hits the road, when life may test their resolve, they give themselves a free pass on it. And I think just how we might think about these New Year's resolutions kind of lines up fairly well with how we might think about what it is to have purpose in life. I think there's probably a bit of a scale that we can be on. On the one hand, there's people who might set New Year's resolutions. Life is basically all about creating and taking hold of your own destiny. To create our own purpose in life, whether that's in whatever, friends, family, career, success, it gives you something to strive towards. And then there might be people on the other side of the scale who just feel a bit of glumness and malaise about it. They think, well, there's nothing really kind of greater than ourselves. There's no point setting a resolution or anything like that, or trying to have something that might give guiding purpose in life. It'll only fail. It won't last. It won't come through and hold true for us. Now, I don't know where you might be on this scale. I'm sure we can kind of sympathize with both ends of the spectrum. But it seems that having some kind of purpose is really important to us in life. It is part of what makes us human. There was a psychologist called Abraham Maslow. He basically was thinking about, what does it mean to be human? And he identified this quite famous idea, this list, this hierarchy of needs that humans have. And on the list, you know, there are very basic things like foods, water, rest, But also higher up as well was the idea of having a purpose in life. Having a reason of why we're here. And maybe we won't die without purpose like we would without food or water. But we still see, well, it's a really important idea to us. Now, maybe you're hearing that word purpose and you're thinking, oh, it sounds a bit kind of cheesy. Maybe it's just helpful thinking about it, of purpose being having some kind of direction in life in which it's heading. Something that just helps us make sense of what we do and why. And the big claim of Christianity is that following Jesus and knowing him is the ultimate purpose in life. It's the way we were made to live. Our passage that Bev read for us, it's well known, it's often read, it's Christmas, it's come up in a few of our different Christmas services. This is the start of a book by the author John, who's writing an account of Jesus' life and saying why Jesus came. And we're going to look through it and just kind of pick out a few different ideas, not going to go through it verse by verse like we normally would on a Sunday, but just seeing how this passage helps us think about this question, how can I have true purpose in life? So we're going to use it to explore that idea. The first thing it shows us, because we're created, we've got purpose built into us. Because we're created, we've got purpose built into us. Have a look at those first few verses at the top of page 1063. Do keep your Bibles open as well. It's helpful to look at it as we go through. Because we meet this person called the Word. This is John introducing us to Jesus, but he's doing it in a particularly special way by calling him the Word. You see, in Greek, the language this was written, the word there is logos. And so John is pulling on this ancient idea that the ancient Greeks had in their philosophy, that there was some kind of big cosmic kind of law and order behind the universe, a way things worked and why, a reason why things the way they were. And what John is saying here, that this logos is not some kind of force or spirit or fate. He's saying this logos is a person that we can know. What do we learn then about this person in these first few verses? Well, first of all, verse 1, we learn that he is God's. Second of all, verse 3, he's a creator. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And thirdly, verse 4, he is life for all, the light of the world's bringing truth. Maybe some of you feel like this, or perhaps you have friends that might kind of say this. They just have a feeling of just, what's the point of it all? What is the point of life? You know, at the end of the day, aren't we just a random collection of atoms kind of brought together, and we just happen to be on this big rock that's kind of orbiting around the sun, and then, well, at some point, we'll be no more. None of anything really matters in the grand whole scheme of things. But you see, what this passage is saying, that one of the key things of knowing that we have purpose in life is to know that we are created. We've been created, which means that there is a master plan, a blueprint beyond just kind of why we are here. There's a sense of order behind the universe. We're part of it. To make the claim that there's some kind of ultimate purpose behind the universe, but taking the idea of a creator out of the question, at the end of the day, it is just pure speculation. But secondly, someone might say, well, why does there need to be a creator for me to have purpose? Surely I can kind of find that in other things in life. I can make that purpose for myself. My purpose can be to live a good and happy and full life. That can be my purpose. And no doubt life is full of good things. We can do that. And they offer great purpose in life. You know, to be a good person, to do good to others, to work hard. All of those things give life in different ways, don't they? But when we look to try and find our ultimate purpose in them, it's only a replica coming from the ultimate purpose. See, if Jesus is the light of all mankind, like he's described in these verses, then maybe it's helpful to think about those other things as merely just mirrors that reflect that light. You see, when we look to these different things to try and find purpose, but we take Jesus and God out of the equation, without the kind of ultimate logos behind them, we find that they never quite fully measure up or satisfy. They're a little bit like when, and bear with me on this, when I put up shelves and do DIY. You see, I'm not particularly good at DIY. This picture here, I didn't do those shelves, just to clarify. But it illustrates the point. Basically, I was putting up some shelves just before Christmas, and you know, you kind of go through the whole thing, you line up a shelf, mark up where it needs to go, drill a hole, wall plug. First one went in kind of perfectly, and then it just comes, you know, that bit where you have to put the second bit in as well. It was so annoying. It was out by just a matter of millimeters. And, you know, you try and kind of just, you think, well, I don't want to drill another hole. So you just try and, like, jimmy the wall plug and the screw in it a little bit, and then maybe you just try and, like, strain the wood and push it a little bit. And then eventually I had to give up and start again. You see, that idea that there's a certain order to life, it's basically the idea that things should line up nice and neatly and be in a certain groove, just like, you know, the screw and the wall plug matches in with the shelf. And yet when we look to try and find our ultimate purpose in life away from our Creator, well, then it's this idea that something just doesn't quite line up. We feel that friction when things don't quite fully satisfy or measure up to what we might expect them to be. They're not the perfect fit. You see, that sort of idea links in with an idea that the Bible calls sin, that there is something kind of out of line, out of order in the universe. Instead of living life in the light of all mankind, we're a little bit like moths that gravitate and are absorbed towards other lights. We're attracted to them when they are only pale imitations of the real thing. See, that links in with our second thing that these verses help to show us. Our purpose is to know our Creator. Our purpose is to know our Creator. You see, if we are people that are created, it means that we're not here by chance. And it means that there is some kind of purpose wired into us. That's why we find it so hard to contemplate there being a meaninglessness to life. We look for meaning. The author, Rachel Jones, she puts it like this. The quote will come up on screen as well. She says, "We long for our lives to mean something. There's something deep within us that refuses to settle for the notion that our existence is insignificant." You could say that that something, that longing for a bigger reality, is what makes us human. You see, as humans, we long and we wonder what life is all about. We look to try and find meaning in the world, in our lives. We want things to make sense. And so we spend every aspect of our lives trying to find it or build it in lots of different ways. Every moment of our time, of our energy, of our resources, of our attention. And we do this so much that it becomes part of our identity. But have a look at verse 14, at the end of our passage that we looked at. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, this isn't us spending a lifetime trying to find purpose and meaning. This verse talks about the one of true and ultimate purpose and meaning coming down to find us. Rather than us reaching up, he is coming down to find us. It's a little bit like the author of the universe writing himself into the story of humanity. And that is what Christmas is all about. The Creator, God of the universe, coming down to the earth to fix the problem of sin, to be light shining into the darkness. He came so that we could know him. And that's not just to know about him or to know of him secondhand, but to know him personally. We have seen him. Have a look at the rest of verse 14. It carries on by saying, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He shows us that he isn't just a creator God who kind of takes a step back and just tries to kind of keep his distance, looks up, and just kind of looks on from the sidelines. He is one who has come down to be physically with us in flesh as a human, taking on all that weakness, a babe in a manger, so that he would dwell with us and that we could know him personally. And so because there is this logos, this ultimate kind of purpose behind the universe set by the Creator, well, then we know that there too is a purpose in life. And the purpose is that we might know our Creator. We might know this God come down to earth. Verse 12 just tells us how this happens. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God's. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God's. What it's saying here, the key to knowing God, to knowing our Creator, knowing that true purpose in life that only he gives, well, it is to receive him. It is to welcome him, to receive and welcome him into your life. And the verses before it, in verses 10 and 11, show us there is no wonder why people don't know purpose in life, as they don't know him. He was within the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to those which was his own, but his own did not receive him. What these verses is saying is that perhaps a person on the outside, they can have a life that seems full and successful and purposeful, yet they can do all of that and miss out on what life is really about, what their purpose really is, because they have not recognized who Jesus is. They have not recognized this word, this logos, this person of meaning. And they have missed out on light into the world and are still in darkness. There's a famous kind of author and pastor in New York, Tim Keller. He was asked the question, well, can you have meaning and purpose in life without God? And he answered sort of yes and no. Yes, you can have meaning because there is God's common grace given to all humanity. There is purpose and meaning in lots of different things. And all of that is a reflection of him and his creation. A person can find purpose and meaning in things. But he says, well, without God, it is far less rational, it is far less durable, and it is far less useful. Maybe you're here today, you're looking into Christianity, you're asking questions, and or maybe perhaps you're following Jesus and you're thinking, what does this look like in my life? What does this actually mean? Maybe these three questions are just helpful as you think these things through. What does life look like? How does following Jesus road test? Is it rational? That is, does it make sense? Is it a consistent way of looking at the world? Is it durable that when hard times and suffering hits, that purpose doesn't just erode away? Or does it give us true and lasting answers, pointing us to something greater than ourselves and greater than this world? And is it useful? Does it bring meaning and blessing and benefit to your life and to society as a whole? We'd really invite you to come along to Hope Explore, to start to look more at what Jesus brings. Again, looking at purpose is one of the big things that we'll spend a whole evening looking at, this idea of having a true purpose in life and how Jesus brings that for Hope Explored. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to finish, and we're going to sing our final song together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you are the Word who became flesh, who came down into our world, that we might be able to know you. Lord, that we might be able to know this created God who has created all the good things that we enjoy. Lord, we thank you that there is purpose and meaning that belies behind this world. We're not just a bunch of atoms randomly together. Lord, that you created us in your image, that we might be able to know you. Lord, we have purpose built into us. And yet, Lord, we recognize that so often we look for that in so many different ways, Lord, and we look for things in other than you. Lord, we are drawn away from you, from knowing you as our creator. But thank you that despite our sin, our rebellion, our pushing you away, Lord, that you would come down to earth at Christmas. That is what we have enjoyed remembering over this season, and that we might be able to know you. Lord, we thank you that you give great purpose in life, Lord, that we might know the creator behind the universe, the one who gives us the true blueprint, the plan of how we are to live. Lord, we are beings that are made to worship something. Lord, we thank you that it is only you that gives us true hope and purpose and meaning and peace in life. Lord, help us to live that out. Help us to stick closely to your word, that you might teach us how to live for you. Help us, Lord, to point other people towards this hope and this purpose in life. So often we may have people in our lives or just in society that we just see that are longing for some kind of greater purpose. The things they look for in do not satisfy and do not measure up. And that can bring great despair and hopelessness. But we thank you so much that we can know you, the hope of the nations. Thank you for your grace and truth that we might be able to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. We started our service by thinking about New Year's resolutions, a tradition, isn't it? That at this time of year, people might examine their lives. They might look to see what their life is all about, what their purpose is. And they're looking to add something that they feel might be missing. Maybe tonight, New Year's Eve, you'll be part of another tradition. Perhaps you do this, perhaps you don't. Singing Auld Lang Syne together, you know, the song where you kind of cross your arms together. It's a song which people do where the roots of the song are people looking back and reminiscing on times gone by as they enter a new year. Our final song that we're going to sing is All Glory Be to Christ, to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, so people should know the tune. It is helpful because it takes our focus off ourselves, our lives, and it points us towards Christ. So this is a song that we're going to sing, and it speaks of purpose in life and how we can find that in Jesus. Let me just read a couple of the words that we'll sing. Should nothing of our effort stands, no legacy survive, unless the Lord has raised a house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me what is your life, a mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ.